What a great blessing it is today to have Cameron and your family here to witness to us the sacrament of baptism, the entrance of our life of discipleship. Most of you, maybe not all, but most of you are probably baptized, and probably most are confirmed. And as people who are confirmed in our faith, we are like the 12 being sent out into the world. And so I'd like to focus on this idea of being sent out into the world today. Recently, I took a trip to Colorado before I started my ministry here at the parish, a little vacation, stayed with a family, and a family that I had known from a parish that moved to Colorado and very involved in the church back when I had lived near them. And so we got there, and my friend Kelly said, "Oh, I'd love to show you the parish. It's a brand new church, real beautiful place, and I have to turn in some vacation Bible school forms for the kids who are going to volunteer, but love you to, for you to see it." So, sure, I'll go and see the parish. And so we went there, and in the car, she said, "Well, I just got to tell you one thing. It's kind of weird. No one's going to talk to you there." And I was like, "Well, I mean, I think they'll talk to me. I have my collar on, you know, and I think they'll say hi to me." She's like, "No, you don't understand. This parish, no one talks to people here." I said, I think they're going to say hi to me. So we get to the parish, and we go to the parish office, and the secretary, you know, says hello and greets me, and it's like, "Oh, hello, Father. Where are you from? You know, when were you ordained?" And asking me all these things, and I'm just saying, you know, "Oh, here's my name, Father Andrew, and from Wisconsin," and you know, very excited to meet me. And, "Oh, by the way, there's this woman here, but, you know, don't worry about her." And then, so she turns in her forms, and then my friend Kelly says, "Well, I'll show you the church. Beautiful church. Looks out over the mountains, these big windows." And then we go look, there's a rosary path, so we looked out in the path. And then there's a seminarian who was working in the yard driving like a maintenance cart, like a gator or something. So like Stephen, our seminarian, who would never do this, but he sees me and he stops the cart and he gets out. He's like, "Oh, hello, Father, what's your name?" I said, "Oh, Father Andrew, where are you from?" "Wisconsin," you know, sharing a little bit, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and it's like, "Oh, by the way, there's a woman here, but don't worry, she didn't matter." And, you know, we get back in the car and go on the way. And she was like, "I was so surprised. Like, they were so friendly to you." And I was like, "Yeah, I had a feeling they were going to, you know, say hello to me." And don't get me wrong. I love to be welcomed and greeted. And, you know, seeing maybe a young priest at times, depending on where you are, can be like seeing like a bear in the wild. You know, it's like they're more rare. And so I understand that, you know, that sentiment a little bit. But when you kind of think about the point of a parish and the point of being a disciple, and this isn't just for parish staff members. I mean, if you come to Mass on Sunday and call yourself a Catholic, in a sense, we're all claiming, at least with our words and our presence here, that we're a part of the mission. So if you're sitting here, you know, I'm speaking to you, that we're meant to be welcoming people who are strangers, but you know, I'm not the type of person at that parish who's going to come to Mass there again. I mean, I'm not donating any money to that parish, nor did I or will I. I mean, I'm not going there again. I'm not going to have my kids baptized there. I don't have any, you know. If there was one person that that parish and the people at that parish should have reached out to, it wasn't me. I mean, I'm glad, like, once again, don't get me wrong. I'm glad to be welcome. But it was my friend Kelly, who goes every Sunday, puts money in the basket. Her kids are there. She's volunteering. And yet how easy it is for us to forget the sense of mission that we have as people who are part of a parish. And we sort of turn in on ourselves a little bit. I mean, it's like if you worked at, I used to work at Starbucks, and if I was only nice to my district manager, you know, and just greeted him with joy, and then when the customers came in, I was like, "Hi, how are you doing? What do you want? Okay." You know, and slam their drink on the table, you know, and everything, they would never come back. And actually, they do a pretty good job at, when you work there, to encourage their employees to treat everyone with sort of this joy and this dignity, which is kind of an interesting thing. And if you think about it, too, it's almost like the church became an ingrown church. You ever had an ingrown toenail before? You know, it's painful. I had one in college, and it's like your toes are supposed to be sort of, they support your balance and they help you walk and they're necessary, although they're hidden. But if the toenail grows into the skin, right, this is kind of gross, it gets infected and it's painful and doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And what do you do? I mean, and it's, to get it removed is not fun either. And I think sometimes in our church, And I'm not saying necessarily here or anywhere else, because I've not been here long enough to really be able to make a judgment, but this is true at most places that I've ever been, that how easily we turn in on ourselves. And I do this too. That I don't want to bother getting into the messiness of people's lives for probably a number of different reasons. I'm a little lazy. Their lives are complicated and I'm busy enough on my own. Maybe I'm a little selfish. Whatever it might be. It's not, you know, we're not doing it on purpose. I think of like when I go for a walk, I'll see someone with a dog. And what do I say? Oh, what's your dog's name? Oh, well, what type of dog is it? I never ask their name. You know, I never take a second even to think about what's this person, this child of God before me. And how often we do this in our church. And I think this is the point of our gospel today, which is that if we're not, each and every one of us, those who call ourselves Catholics and come to the Mass, are then going out into the world and proclaiming God's message, then we kind of turn in on ourselves. We become an ingrown church, if you will. And even the word Mass, some of you might know what it means. It comes from a Latin word that means to send, missus, having been sent. And it comes from the old Latin days when we'd say, ite missa est, the end. It just means go in peace. Or it means really like, indeed, go. And so even the title of what we're doing here is not about, in the end, necessarily staying here, but it's about taking what we've received, being incorporated into the body of Christ by receiving his body and blood and then sharing it with others. If we don't do that, as I kind of repeating, we become a little bit ingrown. And some of you might say, well, you know, I'm not a church worker, I'm not a priest, I'm not a seminarian. You know, that's your job. And on one hand, you're right. I mean, it is my job. But on the flip side, we hearken to the words of Amos from our first reading. He was preaching or prophesying to the king in Bethel and telling him to get his act together a little bit. And what did the king say? He said, get out of here, you prophet. And so Amos said, I'm no prophet. I'm a dresser of sycamores and a shepherd. That's, you know, like saying I work at a gas station and I'm a CNA and a cleaning lady. I mean, these are the types of people that are called to bring the good news to the world, which is another way of saying every single person with no excuse. And we know this actually just from our secular lives. We know that life only takes on meaning when we give of ourselves. We give of ourselves to our families, to our children, to the elderly in our life who might be sick or at home. Even if you're an engineer, right? You thrive on going out and fixing things, of giving of your intellect. So each and every one of us know just by nature that we're called to give of ourselves, and that life without that becomes absurd and meaningless, and we don't understand the point. So I wish in my friend Kelly's church I had gone there, and I wish they'd been friendly to me. You know, that's good. But then I wish they had said, but who are you to Kelly? What's your name? What's your story? Where are you from? And really seeing that the mission of that church is to welcome those who are strangers and those who are lost and those who are least. Our second reading talks about all of us have a plan and a particular purpose in life that God has formulated from the beginning of the world. And finding that actually gives us a great sense of purpose and mission and meaning. We don't invent our lives. In a sense, we discover it. And there's a hole that's missing in the world that only you can fill in. And if you don't, it stays missing. And there's a portion of the people of God who will never know him. So what do we do with all of this? Well, I mean, just for starters, it's like, do you see people at church you don't know and you avoid them? Do you see neighbors you don't know and you just talk about them and don't speak with them? You know, do you know a family who's not signed up for our faith formation program? Do you know a family that's not even Catholic who could use some community? And you say, hey, why don't you sign up for Rooted, the faith formation program for families? Or do you know someone who's sick or homebound and connect them with Mary at the parishes who sends people to visit them? I mean, these are just real simple things, but it's a start. I'll end with a quote from Pope Francis that I really liked. He was at World Youth Day in 2016 in Poland. And he's talking about this, that the church doesn't make any sense without mission. You know, that's like telling your kids, I don't want you to be independent and learn to do things on your own. I just want you to live at home your whole life and never work. You know, that we wouldn't want that for our kids, and we don't want that within our churches as well. And so Pope Francis says this, Jesus is not the Lord of comfort, security, and ease. Following Jesus demands a good dose of courage, a readiness to trade in the sofa for a pair of walking shoes and set out on new and uncharted paths. God's love invites you to bring the good news, making of your own lives a gift to him and to others. This means being courageous. This means being free. And so in the end, perhaps being a disciple is the definition of being free.